Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 488, going to spend a little time talking about how I think we're reaching a point of fatigue or a saturation with the day-to-day news. I'm sure that I'll do another podcast at some point about the breaking news or the big story. But for the time being, and maybe it's the weather, maybe it's perfect out here tonight at midnight. It's still hard to believe it's April 18th and the weather is what it is in the upper Midwest. And so I'm out on the deck tonight. And maybe we'll get back to the big story. But for the time being, there's a lot of people I'm talking to, and myself included, who are really pretty tired of the constant outrage machine and the constant reporting on political events. So we're going to talk about that in this podcast. So what do you do in an emergency? Those sirens make me think of, what do you do in emergencies? Well, you call 911. But what do you do when you have a plumbing emergency, when the pipes break, or when there's something wrong with the heating and air conditioning system, especially a business? Most people really don't have a plumber on call, and they don't know what to do. And I'm going to give you someone that you can call. That's Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. They've been doing this for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. They can help you with residential emergencies. They can help you with business emergencies. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, here's the number, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Now, surprisingly enough, this was a weekend where we had some really warm temperatures. I know it was above 70 degrees all weekend. And some Minnesotans may have turned on their AC and found it not working very well. So make sure you get an AC check, and you can call Ryan Plumbing and Heating for an AC check. It has to be at least 70, but you owe it to yourself to just make sure that everything is in good working order. And so Ryan Plumbing will come out and check your AC. Call them at 651-224-4771, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, because when it comes to keeping all of these systems running right, especially these days with the complexity of them at home or business, when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, once again, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Four generations in St. Paul, and thanks you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Now, if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems saves lives. If you click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast, it'll take you to their page. There's video on there that explains what it is, how it works, and how people's lives have been saved. Because, look, I know pilots. So they want to get there, but they also want to get there safely. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. They want to get it into your plane's package today. So click on that banner for more information about Alpha Systems AOA. The AOA revolution was started by Alpha Systems. Well, here it is Sunday night again. And here we are. I'm back in this mode where I'm starting and stopping and starting and stopping and redoing and redoing and starting and stopping. It all started out with, you know, it's a beautiful warm night. I'm going to come out here on the deck and I'm going to use this special microphone that I have that's really sensitive. And, you know, I can just set it on the table and, you know, I'm having a few issues with that, and that bothers me, you know, because there's a little bit of wind tonight. But I managed to get, I've got a foil set up here. So it's just kind of a music stand with a big piece of cloth on it, and it prevents the wind from reaching the microphone, I think. So I'm happy about that. It's not that bad, but this mic is so sensitive, I can hear it rumbling when the wind kind of hits it properly, just right, and that's driving me crazy. But that's not what's driving me crazy. So I've done two or three pretty political podcasts since the podcast where I talked about the fort my dad built, I should say with me, but it was for me. Back when I was a kid, that podcast gave me a lot of joy, and I rushed to the microphones in the studio to do that podcast. I was really excited about it. And so this weekend and this last weekend, I really ended up struggling on Sunday night. And I've decided what I'm going to do in this podcast is I'm going to talk about that, because I am so sick of talking about politics. I am so tired of the political conversation, and I don't know whether it's that I spend a lot of time talking politics with people on the phone and it wears me out, or whether I spend too much time on social media watching this ridiculous, I don't even think I would call it an argument, this ridiculous situation play out in the media, or whether I'm just tired of it in general. And I've just reached the point of just being, I wouldn't even say that I'm saturated, but just reached the point of just terminal disgust with the whole thing. And, you know, I keep track of what's going on, and I read what's going on, and I'm trying to give people something to hold on to that isn't what everyone else is saying and doing. And the easy thing for me to do tonight would be go grab a bunch of stories about politics. I've got them right here on the computer. Print them up and read them and come up with a bunch of things to talk about related to what's going on and set everybody up for the week. But the truth is, there's really nothing going on, you know, and I've read a bunch of things today and there's nothing of real interest going on. And the next big thing that's going to happen is the New York primary, and then all the storylines are going to change after that. And who knows what they'll be then? It doesn't matter. It's the next big thing. We're in between. And the other thing is, other than earthquakes and, you know, that sort of thing, there really isn't that much going on in the world. Yeah, there are things. You know, the Iranians got their S-300 missile system, which we've been warning about for years. Apparently, you know, making agreements with them doesn't seem to make any difference on these types of things where it concerns the Russians or the Iranians. I think that's a pretty significant story. You know, I think there's some significant economic stories going on just in terms of being harbingers, but then I'm not sure, because the economic media and the business press is exactly like the other media now, which is everything is everything points to rosy scenario or everything points to the end of the world. So you really can't trust what any of the things that they say or predict. And you really have to stay away from predictions and just try to look at the broad outlines of the way things are and draw your own conclusions based on what you know about economics. So I'm not ready to do an economics podcast. And I just think that in terms of the spirit of just sort of mining what I'm thinking about, you know, the last two weekends, I'm just thinking about how tired I am of the political thing. And the feeling that, I'm not going to say the feeling is I don't matter or you don't matter, because I do think that the individual still makes a big difference in this country politically, despite what people are saying this weekend about the delegate selection process and everything else. I do think that stuff is still really, really important. And I do think that an individual still, you know, makes a huge difference in politics. It's just that people seem to have difficulty understanding that the numbers and the intensity and the amount of work necessary is so far beyond what they even in their worst nightmare envision, that they're not capable of being able to participate at a level where they can influence things. It's just too much work and requires too much knowledge. And I don't mean smarts. I just mean knowledge specifically of how things work. And I don't really want to talk about that. You know, I've started and stopped this podcast a couple of different times, and I end up talking about the delegate selection process and primaries and, you know, what's going to happen if we don't have primaries and if we do, and why are people upset about this and everything else. But the thing that's running through my mind is, honestly, I just don't care. And it was interesting because I had a telephone conversation with a good friend today, and he was down at a convention in Arizona someplace. And he said that people at the bar were saying the same thing. They were just sick of this whole thing. And of course, you're in the bar, and you know, there's five or six TVs. He was at a casino, so I know that there's a bunch of TVs, and they all have Fox News and CNN on, you know. And people are looking at it going, oh, God, I'm so tired of this nonsense, these people that... And it's this machinery that continues to trudge forward regardless of whether there's really anything of any value to talk about. We used to call it the elephant in the room, you know, in talk radio. And here's how that works. Here's how it is in talk radio. So people often ask me, well, how do they decide what they're going to talk about? And here's how most people that do talk radio decide what they're going to talk about. And I did the same thing. You know, you become a vigilant scanner of the news, because the one thing that you talk about that you didn't read about is going to be the one thing that the guy that calls from Farmington is going to bust you out on, because you're not going to know. And if you aside from, I don't want to get too detailed, but aside from, you have to be able to say, well, gee, I haven't heard that. I'll have to find out about that, instead of responding to what they're saying. But everybody sooner or later has to respond to something that somebody says that they don't know about. So you end up doing that. But you end up, you know, being a hyper-consumer of news. You end up reading 300 or 400 pages of stuff every day. I don't do that anymore. I've talked about it a couple of different times because I don't need to. You know, and I don't even want to, given the way things are. And what have I learned about it? Well, you know, I used to think, I'm going to miss something, so I have to read every day, and I have to read details every day, and I have to know every single detail. And you do become very well informed. But the thing that I didn't know when I was doing that is that even though it appears things are changing, they really aren't. It's just that the trappings and the set is changing, but the play is still the same, and it's still being directed the same, and the actors are still, you know, acting the same, and nothing really has changed. It's just we've changed the set and the costumes a little bit. And if you want to be up on that, that's fine. But we used to have this. And so most talk show hosts, you know, you read news, and then what you do is almost everybody has some kind of system. I have a pretty extensive system to determine what the top stories are. And, you know, you kind of search through and find the top thing that there is going on, and then you talk about that thing. And this goes on day after day after day. And stories change slowly. They progress through the week and they change. And if you get a really, really big one, that's all you're going to be talking about for a week. And that's okay. If there's a big thing that happens, like the Paris attacks, and you talk about that for 3 or 4 days and all of the facets that go on with that, that's one thing. Or if there's a financial crisis and the first day you kind of put everything aside and you just talk about the financial crisis. And then as the days goes on, you find more information, you talk about it. You know, that's kind of what we call the elephant in the room. And there's a point at which the story kind of starts to get stale. But you have to keep talking about it because it's what everybody wants to talk about, supposedly, and what everybody wants to hear about. And when you look up at the TVs, this is what you see on the televisions. And the election right now is kind of like the elephant in the room, in that the thread of interest has gone dry. We've lost the scent of the hunt. There is no real percentage in continuing to talk about it, unless you're really one of these people who thrives on political news and political information and just thinks every bit of it is great. And if you're that person, I feel sorry for you, because I'm not that person. And I don't think I ever was that person. I think I just was, you know, a talk show host every day. And this is what you had to do in order to do a talk radio show with a political audience, political talk radio, you know, be aware of stuff. Well, if you've been listening to the Bob Davis podcast for any length of time, you know that I'm super pumped these days about a hydration drink called Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. because it is an amazing product for getting you hydrated, regardless of what kind of an exercise program you have. I do yoga. I've talked about it. Some people do SoulCycle, depending on where they live, or they do something called Orange Theory, or they lift weights, or they do CrossFit, or some people do competitive sports. They still play hockey, for example. And Hydras can help you out no matter what you're doing. First of all, a lot of athletes are using it. People who are playing tennis, golfers, wrestlers, collegiate wrestlers, and CrossFit athletes are using Hydras. Hydras is a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, and there's no sugar in it. So it's great if you, for example, wrestlers love it because if they drink something with sugar in it, it affects their weight cuts, and Hydras can really help with weight cuts. So if you're doing any kind of physical activity, a lot of times, and I'll just very quickly say this, if you drink a quart of water before you do whatever it is that you're going to do, it can take as long as 45 minutes for you to get hydrated. If you use Hydras, it happens a lot faster. Here's my Hydras right here. Now, a plane's going to go over, so I'm going to very quickly tell you to check out HydrasPerformance.com and join the Hydras Performance Revolution, HYDRUS. I think you're going to be really, really impressed. I've been using it for a long time. I thought soreness went with the territory when I did yoga in hot, crowded rooms where you sweat a lot. The fact is, I've got more stamina, I'm able to do what I do more easily, and I am not as sore as I was before Hydras. Check it out. Their website has a lot of information about who's using it, how they're using it, how you use it. HYDRUS, HydrasPerformance.com. One of the things that I've learned to do in podcasting is to kind of really, and I've talked about it a couple times, is really sort of think about what you're thinking about and talk about what you're thinking about. Because if people don't want to hear it, they'll just not, they won't listen to the podcast. So what? You know, I don't care. But that's where the real gold is. That's where the great topics are. It's the stuff that is going on in the back of your mind that when you're reading news constantly and trying to figure out what to talk about constantly and trying to do, you know, 14, 10-minute segments that culminate in a call or culminate in an interview or whatever, you don't listen to the track in your own mind. You don't listen to or think about what you're thinking about. Now, I think everybody's like that. I think we all do what we do, and most of us don't listen to that little voice in our head. And most of us learn not to listen to the little voice in our head that, you know, is sort of going on in the background, talking about whatever it talks about, whatever, and I'm not talking about being insane. I'm talking about feelings that eventually launch from the subconscious with a memory or a smell or a string of words or a thought that might seem foreign, even though it came from your subconscious. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about active imagination, literally. I'm talking about actively listening to your thoughts and listening to your conscious mind. In an effort to get a sense of what your subconscious mind is doing. And I find that infinitely more fascinating, not only when I do it, but when other people do it, to listen to and to think about, than whether or not someone's upset about the delegate selection process in Montana or Colorado or Georgia or wherever else. You know, the election is going to go on, and the outcome is going to occur. Certainly, at the end of the primary season, the candidates will be chosen at the convention. It may either be an uproarious, crazy affair that people will talk about for years, or it will be a rather mundane, prearranged path on both ends of the spectrum. Speeches are going to be made, people are going to get upset, votes are going to be cast, and the Electoral College is going to vote, and a president's going to be chosen, and 435 congressmen are going to be chosen, and a third of the U.S. Senate is going to be chosen, and then we're going to be off and running on the next thing, and the storylines are going to be, what are they going to do, and is it going to this and that, and what's the new president going to be like, and everything else, and then we're going to be off and running down a particular path, and there's going to be protesters, and angry people, and happy people, and all sorts of questions that are going to be magnified and rebroadcast at top volume until people are at their wits' end. And I don't get the percentage in that anymore. I don't think things are changing. I don't think people are staying with it long enough to change things. I don't think that there is a philosophy that that you can put your finger on and say, this is really what it's all about. I think that the next world is coming. I think people are doing it in their day-to-day work. And I think it's going to happen whether we vote this way or that. And that's the way it is. You know, is it good? Have the Illuminati taken over, or are they going to take over next week? Or, you know, is there going to be a banking meltdown in 7 days? Is that plane flying over my head going to crash? Will there be zombies? You know? And the truth is, I don't know the answer to that question, and I can't predict it. I don't think anybody else can either. We don't know what's going to happen in the world. That's why we get up every day, to find out. And so I have an aversion. Until something happens that I feel engaged, that I have traction on, I have an aversion to talking about this stuff. And yet I'm in the podcast business and I'm doing podcasts and I still have to continue to do podcasts. But, you know, if I could offer something, and I don't like to just turn the microphone on and talk. I don't like to just say, you know, blah, blah, you know, which is what I'm kind of doing now. But I'm trying to get to, you know, the kernel of this. And I kind of, you know, what I'm trying to do is give people something a little extra that they can take with them, whether it is, you know, getting people upset because they're being criticized, or whether it's a piece of information they may not have heard somewhere else, or, you know, like an interview with Tom, or not Tom, but like an interview with my friend, the delegate from 2012, to give you an inside picture rather than telling everybody this is what's going on with the delegate process and this means this and that means that. You know, you guys can figure that out. You've got the tools now to figure. You don't need me to tell you that. You have the tools in front of you on your phone and on your computer that you can figure that stuff out. So it becomes a greater challenge, especially after 500 podcasts, you know, for me to do something I haven't done, to talk about things in ways that I haven't, and to grow rather than just continue to do the same things. And I guess what I was going to say is, when I started talking about the elephant in the room, it would be infinitely easier for me to just pick a swath of stories and start talking about them and making all kinds of predictions and statements about it. This doesn't, and if this doesn't get done this way, then that, you know, that kind of stuff. It would be very easy to do that. And, or it would be very easy for me to just trounce down to the Libertarian Party convention and interview a bunch of people, you know, at the Libertarian Party convention, or to do, you know, a Skype interview with somebody, you know, on some silly subject or whatever. But I don't feel like doing that, you know, because I'm so fascinated with this idea of, you know, coming up with finding these things that I'm thinking about in the back of my head. That's where the Fort thing came about, that I was so excited about that podcast, because that just popped into my head one day. And I was like, you know, that's really a podcast. That's really something worth talking about. And what I guess has popped into my head in the last couple of weeks is how tired of and dissatisfied with I am. That's bad English, but how dissatisfied and tired I am with the whole political process, and in particular the reporting on it, and the fact that, you know, I'll give you an example. I'm getting really sick of myself saying stuff and not providing examples. So if I mention the Huffington Post, everybody will go, oh, Huffington Post, oh, of course, you know, that kind of a thing. But they all do it. BuzzFeed does it. You know, they all do it. You know, Daily Beast, BuzzFeed, all the major channels, they all do it. But the Huffington Post just recently has had, I don't know how many posts that say Donald Trump will win the election, or Bernie Sanders will win the election, or this one, and here's how, and here's why. And it's nonsense. It's a headline that's designed to get people to click because it's lurid and it's interesting. That's what our media does now. That's their job. They don't necessarily find a story and report on a story, in the sense that back in the days of the peak, the golden age of newspapers in this country in the late 1900s and early 1900s, the turn of the century, 1900 through 1920, 1919 through the 20s and 30s, especially when newspapers became electronic and that linotype machines came into vogue, and you could correct and change and fix the newspaper pretty much on demand, and newspapers became big business. And there was a morning and afternoon newspaper in every market, and usually a couple of extra editions if there was quote-unquote breaking news. Extra, extra, read all about it. That's where that came from. And newspapers in major cities had full staffs of writers, reporters, that were sent out to report. And one of the most famous newspapers, which the name escapes me, I want to say it was either the New York World or the Chicago World or the Chicago Mercury, but this is the paper where Herbert Asbury and Upton Sinclair and all those guys worked. And the editor, and I don't remember the guy's name because I'm not a newspaper historian, but it was the editor of this new famous newspaper. When one of these reporters, it was probably Sinclair, started, he said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And the editor said, "Go out and go find some news to report on." And, you know, that was sort of the dawn of this whole age of finding stories. And Sinclair excelled at finding stories like the situation on the south side in the stockyards, and we got a book out of that, and all this other stuff. They would find Herbert Asbury wrote about crime stories, and he went out and sought out crime stories. And I don't even know if they worked at the same newspaper. It was a style of reporting, and it was a style of journalism that you went out and you found news to report on. And it was the who, what, where, why, and when. And it was the flair and the panache of the writer that made it special. We don't have that kind of media anymore. We have a media where writers sit in a room and they rehash stories, and they take pieces of this story and that story over here that somebody else wrote, and they rehash it and repackage it as another kind of a story. For example, this guy's going to win the election. That guy's going to win the election. This one's going to get the nomination. That one's going to get the nomination, and here's how. And the headlines and stories are written to hook you, right? I mean, news stories are always written that way, but now this is what they do. It's not like all these news services have reporters out looking for stories. They're out basically rehashing what's going on. So it's getting old for me because I don't – and the best way for me to explain it is in talk radio, and I don't know how many times this happened, you'd go through this process, like I said, where you'd get the elephant in the room. It'd be the big story. Everyone would want to comment on it. They'd call in. The phone lines would be full for 3 days with everybody calling up and complaining. Eventually, the story would get resolved, or it would just go away, and you'd start talking. Usually, something else comes up, and you have to start talking about something else, whether it's, you know, some stock topic like light rail or something like that, and you just start talking about that, and you stop talking about the big story, and you go on to the next big story, and you know, that story kind of dies, and the calls on it die out, and it goes away, and nothing happens, and all that outrage is spent, and then the next story comes along. The next big story comes along, and there's outrage for, you know, 3 or 4 days, and everybody calls in, and it's talked about on Facebook, and there's, you know, scores of Facebook posts, and people posting memes, and there's comments about it on Twitter, and it goes away because nothing happens. Nobody does anything. And after you've gone through this process about 2,000 times, you think to yourself, and I'm going to say this, I don't know how these people that do these national talk shows, like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh, I don't know how these guys do it, because nothing's changed. You know, it's been going on for 30 years, this outrage machine, and nothing has changed. And you ask yourself, you know, do I want to keep on banging away on the big story, expecting it to change, expecting people to do something or change something or be something different than what they've been? Because nothing's going to change. And I don't want to sound negative. I actually don't think it's negative, because I think people just you know, they're just going on with their lives. So this is this whole thing about listening to the track in the back of your mind. And the track in the back of my mind is saying, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not interested in that. That's not doing it for me. This is not something that I want to go into. You know, and believe me, I could talk for 35 minutes if I wanted to about the delegate selection process and the state-by-state primaries and why it's not going to change and why we have it and all that stuff. But I don't think that's going to accomplish it because, you know, the truth is I don't think people care about it. You know what I think people care about? I think they care about opening day of baseball. I think they care about the fact that it's a beautiful 77, 80 degrees and people can go to the lake and put their dock in and it's not snowing. And they're looking forward to summer in the upper Midwest and how wonderful summer in the upper Midwest is and how great it is to be able to sit out on the deck with your kids and your parents and enjoy the evening and have a steak and have some friends over and just do that or take a walk around the lake or whatever. I don't think they're thinking about any of this stuff. And I think that they're rightfully outraged and tired of it because we're just constantly being exhorted to be outraged about something in the world. And I wonder whether people are reaching a point where they just don't care anymore. They're not able to sustain the constant arousal necessary to be engaged. And those that are, there's something wrong with them. They're either bloggers or doing this or on the radio or on some TV show where they have to do something. And I would just ask this question. This is where I was going with this, and I don't want to, you know, I've talked way too long about this, but you can see how my mind works with it. What if there was nothing to talk about? What if it was just, you didn't really have anything to talk about? What would you do? How would you feel if there was nothing to talk about? You know, would you be thinking about a girl? Would you be thinking about your past? Would you be thinking about planting some flowers? Would you go take a meal to the guys next door, the old people who live next door? I don't know. Would you do something crazy like go gamble at a casino, or what would you do? And how much of our daily angst is driven by all of this outrage? You know, I don't know if you've noticed lately, but traffic's been crazy and people are driving crazy. They're either driving too fast or too slow. They can't seem to drive appropriate for traffic and they don't seem to know what to do. Maybe it's just my perception and I don't even drive that much. I wonder how much of all of this frustration and angst and fear and loathing is coming from this constant, and I don't want to blame the media because we use it. You know, we're on social media and we're on these different things, but I wonder how much of this angst comes from this constant drub of outrage over every little thing, you know? Honestly, I'll tell you, like I said before, I really don't care how the delegates are chosen. I don't really care whether Ted Cruz gets all of them and becomes the nominee. I don't really give a damn at this point. I'm not that invested in it because I know what's going to happen. Nothing. It's just going to be another election and we're going to go on. And if something does happen, then people will say, what happened and how do we get here? Well, okay, then that's something to talk about. But, you know, when everything is breaking news, at some point, it just becomes wallpaper. And for me, that's not where the juice is, you know, anymore. And I'm not going to sit here and do podcasts for you guys of just being outraged about every little political thing that happens because it's not worth it. Yeah, I'll do a podcast after New York. You know, Tuesday night, I'll probably do a podcast after the New York primary and I'll talk about its impact. And that's something that merits, you know, a podcast is, you know, what happened tonight and we've had this many primaries and this is what the numbers are and here's where we're at. Yeah, that's something to talk about. But when you hit these in-between periods like we are now, what would happen if there was nothing to talk about? What would happen if, what was the movie? Will Smith remade it and he was the only guy left and there was no people except the zombies. And originally it was Charlton Heston. And, you know, the 1975, I think it was 1972 or 73, it was set in the future and it was Marathon Man. No, that's not it. It wasn't Marathon Man. But Charlton Heston is the last guy on the planet, and it shows how he starts his day. And the remake with Will Smith kind of reflects this, but it's a little bit more action-packed. But, you know, Charlton Heston's big thing is he drives off, you know, in one car and comes home in another one, you know, and he's just driving around. And there's no media, there's no talk, there's no people, there's no news. It's just him. And I wonder what it would be like if somehow tomorrow it all got shut off. Now, we can shut it off. We can do a news cleanse. But what would happen tomorrow if you woke up and there was no Fox News and there was no CNN and there was no social media and there was no... I'd be upset if Instagram went down, because I love Instagram, because it's just pictures of things that people see and there's no snark. You know, people don't snark on Instagram. They just go, hey, cool picture. You know, maybe we could leave Instagram. But what would you do tomorrow if you woke up and there was none? It was all gone. What would you do? And I don't mean that there was some bomb and it went off. I just mean, what happens if somebody comes along and just says, you know what, we're shutting all this down. We're going to shut it down for a week. And we're not going to tell anybody. We're just going to shut it down. There's not going to be any news. I wonder what we would do. I wonder what we would think about. I wonder what we'd talk about. I wonder what life would actually be like with no news. And I think that some people could answer that question. You know, they'd say, well, you know, there's things to be done. We got to put the dock in, and we got to get the boat out, and I got to go to work tomorrow, and we got things we have to do at work. So we would survive for a while without it. But some days I wish that would happen, and I guess I'll just leave it there. Once again, because I know people are going to ask, the drink that I'm talking about is called Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. I rave about it because it has made a huge difference in my yoga practice. And, you know, we sweat a lot in yoga, whether we're doing yoga sculpt or power yoga or whatever. And, you know, if you sweat a lot and you get dehydrated, you're in pain. When I started using Hydrus, it changed my practice. It literally transformed my practice. It'll do the same for you, whether you do cycling or CrossFit, lifting, any kind of competitive sports. It's great for people of all ages doing competitive sports or whatever it is that they do. H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com. And thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Also, you know, it's warm. I'm surprised to say it. I didn't think it was going to happen that quickly. But when it gets to be above 70, you can have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check your air conditioning systems to make sure everything is working right. And also remember, Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. It takes you to ryanplumbing.com, a great new website with lots of information. You can contact them through that if you want. But remember also, Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, and have them check your AC. It's worth it to make sure everything's working right. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. I'm banging the table and going crazy here. Well, it's getting late, and right about this time every night, we start getting one plane after another as the last few flights are coming in to Minneapolis and St. Paul International, and I am right on the flight path, so I'm probably going to have to stop podcasting. But, you know, I think it's important to every now and then, I kind of am starting to refer to these as consolidation podcasts, where I'm kind of consolidating all the stuff that I've talked about up to this point, and also kind of give you an idea of my thinking and why I'm thinking. And I can't go on and do hard-hitting political podcasts without occasionally talking about what's going on in my head, because for some reason it clears the palate so I can move on to the next thing. And that's kind of what I'm doing. So thanks for listening to this podcast. And thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show on GCNLive.com. And also, if you're in Minneapolis and St. Paul, on AM 1280, The Patriot at 4 p.m. on Saturdays, or at GCNLive.com. That is the biggest mosquito I've ever seen right there. Here we go. And thanks for liking and sharing, which is kind of like favoriting and sharing, and following on Facebook and Twitter, and my favorite medium for social media, I just love Instagram. And also want to say thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. People that are contributing right now. We're just sort of building up the fund for summer operations in Mobile Podcast Command, trying to figure out where to go. Cleveland for the Republican National Convention, perhaps Sturgis, the EAA Air Show. I have put out feelers for Burning Man, and I'm starting to work on that, and I'm pretty excited about that. So that is all coming up, and thanks for your donations, because that supports Mobile Podcast Command. And thanks for listening to Podcast 488, the Bob Davis Podcasts.